Agenda item number 14, concerning crafts.
Couple of handouts, and one is a letter from Chris Moore, the Chesapeake Bay Foundation. I saw him earlier, so he'll kind of talk about his letter. The second is from Mr. Seth Rux. He's a Keeler Pounds fisherman and a Keeler Potter in Lower Northampton County, works the seaside. And I'll have a blue paper regulation when I finish this. There's a couple little changes. One that the register wanted us to make in the way we did the chronology of the dates, and another one where we have to not only have season dates, we have to have when the bushel limits are effective. So just a little bit of review. This is going to be a rather quick presentation because last month staff was able to go over all the elements that you're going to consider today, and appreciate last month having the time to do that. One thing I'd like you to notice about this figure, we do see a lot of, you know, information that things haven't changed much since 2008. And if you look, 2008 is right here where I have the pointer on all crabs. And you can see to the left of that, all the way back to 1998, it really was a low, low period of abundance, overall abundance. And you see, in general, there's been some down periods too, 2013 and 14, but overall abundance has improved no matter how you look at that situation. If you also look at female spawners, which are in the blue with the small red squares, you can see the same pattern, 1998, 2008, and you do see overall improvements here from 2009 on. Now, of course, 2016, which is really 2015-16 winter dredge survey, was relatively high abundance, you know, not the highest, but about the, you know, within the realm of the top quarter. And for females, it was about the fourth highest in 27 years. So I just wanted to have that as a backdrop to you, but also wanted to remind you how difficult it is to think that this stock can, on a perennial basis, have high abundance. It hasn't happened in 27 years. There are very few instances where you have back-to-back or consecutive year good abundance amounts, and of course everyone knows that the environmental drivers are very important for the success of recruitment of the small crabs back into the bay, the megalope, and nonetheless they still have to make it to the fishery, and there's lots of natural mortality. So you saw that in 2012, a very high abundance, about 583 million juvenile crabs, never really translated into a good fishing fall. The other thing to keep in mind is when things start out in the spring with your female spawners, that's what everyone's going to be harvesting. This is bay-wide. It's hard to say where the advantage is among the three jurisdictions, but you do want to have a good amount of spawners. That's what you're going to not only count on for your spring to early summer harvest, but also your two spawns that occur in late May and July, August. And then as you look at your juvenile crabs, you have situations where they will mature enough so they'll be part of the fishery in late summer and fall. But what I wanted to point out is by the yellow shading is you don't really see a good combination, a good strength of both juveniles and female spawners very often. And part of that is if crabs do live till 6 years, which is the scientific information, we still treat them like an annual crop. And the overall theme today is we took a 10% reduction in 2014 because the stock was depleted at 68.5 million female spawners. And We took that reduction, and things are better now, but we still have to provide for the spawn in both this year and next year with our juveniles that aren't harvested that become part of the spawning stock of 2017. This is a good graph that staff has been showing you for a while. The blue bars just means the percent active of all the licenses. We have an eligibility where you can be eligible right here in the darkish blue. You don't have to buy the license. You can go ahead and buy the license in the red, and you can also be active in the green. So the first thing that jumps out at you is a couple things. One, people buy the license, but they're not active. And since 2004, you have not had to buy the license to remain eligible in the blue. The other thing that jumps out is this large dip down here. And, of course, there was that buyout of about 659 licenses altogether, I think, back in 2009 of different categories. So you do see that. And you know also we still have a waiting list, which is probably around low 200s. Who are on that waiting list, and they've been there since 2008. So if you look at this, out of all the eligible licenses, which is getting close to, 1,220, 1,230, you've got about 860 that are active. And if you look at activity, maybe 74-75% are active of the crab pot. Peeler pot shows some interesting trends too, even less activity among those who are eligible up here. And of course, a lot are still buying the licenses, and the eligibility really compared to the activity, you've got about 55-58% are active in the peeler pot fishery. So the first thing that everyone thinks about is latent effort. And I think we'll talk about that in a second, but just to give you a really quick snapshot, almost 23 million last year, up about a little over 4 million pounds. Nothing to write home about because the last two good harvest years, Baywide, including Virginia, were 2010 and 11, and consequently they were pretty good in terms of the abundance levels that year as well. So there's a lot of variability. If you think about the latent effort, though, which is one thing, we do know that we have information that shows in 2010 and 11, there was an increase in harvesters. The abundance was good. The increase was not that much in both the peeler pot and the hard pot. And this has been a question since 2001, jurisdiction-wide, of what do you do about latent effort? Well, it doesn't appear that there's going to be a big jump, but you can expect with the conditions this year of abundance, there'll be some entry that hasn't been there before. This is something that the Bay jurisdictions are working on as part of the Chesapeake Bay Stock Assessment Committee to really analyze latent effort and come up with a conclusion. How significant or substantial is it really? I'm going to launch into the eight items that you have for today. And one is there's a proposal by those who were here at the April 19th Crab Management Advisory Committee. There are only six individuals. Everyone was in accord at that meeting. There was not a quorum. Staff did open a dialogue so that anyone could talk to the group after that meeting and reminded them about a week and a half ago that if there are any more comments, please send your comments. So it wasn't as if everyone was shut out from communication who was not at that meeting. So one thing that was looked at was a March 1 opening of the crab pot season. Currently, we have had March 17th since 2007. Prior to that, in 1994 through 2006, there was an April 1 start date. Prior to 1994, there really wasn't a start date. So what's involved here is that there's a thought that there will be some economic advantage to starting before March 17th. And in addition, the commission has allowed a December 15th harvest back in 2012 and 2013. And so the proposal from the CMAQ individuals and others have commented to me to go to December 20th is really not that new. Staff did try and get some sense of an impact. It's pretty difficult to do. We looked at data from 1973 to 1994, before there was an April 1 season, and really the amount of harvest is not that large. The largest one harvest was 428,000 pounds. December, during those time periods, were just about 20,000 pounds. Keep in mind that's a different reporting system. If you want to double that amount, because it was dealer-based reporting, voluntary, it's still within reason of not being a very large change. There's apparently competition, even in March 17th, but staff thinks there'll still be a little of that competition from Georgia and South Carolina and even North Carolina, but we think that it's also dependent, highly dependent on weather. In 2012, it was really warm. The activity doubled. The harvest doubled in March 17th to 31st. There were 2.5 million pounds like that. No one could believe it, and consequently, bushel limits now in the early part of the year through March and the latter part of the year are also held lower than the other times of the year. So this is going to be sort of the help here. Rather than look at every regulation, here's the actual change in the regulation in blue underline that there would be a March 1 through December 20th season. The December 20th would be in 2016. In 2017, the season would start March 1. So that's item one. The second thing that the CMAQ members who were present at that meeting wanted to address was the other gear, all gear other than crab pot, peeler pound, peeler scrape, any type of gear that was not crab pot. Crab pot's about 95% of the entire harvest, and what was requested there was eventually an April 1 through October 31st season. For a couple of years following the 2014 depleted abundance of the spawning females, the seasons have bounced around from May 1. Then this year the startup time was April 21st. The closure times have also changed from the 25th of September. And what is requested is to help both the western end of the bay and the eastern end of the bay, and to have an April 1 through October 31st season. We did get one comment on that from a CMAQ member. Did not hear anything back, but the comment was that maybe April 1 might be a little too early. Maybe it could be mid-April, but frankly, that's very close to where we were this year, April 21st. Staff also looked at the harvest, the impacts, and in red here you can see that if you look at the time period from 1973 to 2014, you have a harvest in April, which is about 1.17 million pounds overall. April harvest is 41,408 pounds on average, or 3.5%. So April is not a very strong time. I mean, May certainly is the month for the peeler harvest as far as being about 50% usually. There's still concerns about reporting on peeler crabs. I mean, that concern exists. It's hard to go after, but I think one thing staff's going to tell you next month, once we work out the details, is we are going to start an outreach program with the watermen's organizations. We've been invited by one already, and it will not only be about mandatory reporting, it'll be about how you report peelers. You report peelers by what you take out of the water, not by what you successfully shed. So if you look down here, all other commercial gear other than crab pot, the harvest season would go from October 31st in 2016 and then start up in April 1 in 2017. Item 3 and 4 are coupled together, and that is crab traps and pounds, synonymous. And for this, there's a legal start date that is going to be a new event for the commission, in that we ran into some trouble, which staff alerted you to, with changing the season. Harvesters were out trying to set their gear other than the retention box or the head. This came to the commissioner's attention, and the CMAQ addressed it and resolved that 2 weeks should be sufficient to get all the gear out for these peeler traps or peeler pounds, but the head or the retention or the catcher cannot be set. So that's one idea there. And if you look at the bottom here, first of all, you see about the retention box here. But if you look at the bottom on season limits, you can see that we also have to change 270. This is what law enforcement responded to this year, the fact that it said no gear can be out there whatsoever, and law enforcement correctly responded. So to take care of that, we direct law enforcement or anyone reading this back to Chapter 460.25, and that will show that this two-week period is lawful. Item six, the crab dredge fishery. In your packets, you have a chronicle of all the evaluation comments since 2008. The season has been closed since 2008-2009 season. This is an abridged version of some of those comments that have persisted throughout the years. One thing is it's dependent on mostly female crabs. The other thing is that the wastage, which was somewhat addressed by a study where the Western Shore was looked at as having mud bottom, still hasn't stilled concerns about wastage. The other thing is that there were comments throughout the 2008 to 2012 period that there's not an interest in dredge crabs. I think some in the industry would say, yes, there is an interest, but those comments were made. There's been a lot of public comment about the fishery, and one thing that also was mentioned in the evaluation is many of the dredge participants had other crab fishery gear licenses. As a matter of fact, in 2008, one of the first things the commission did was allow those who would have been on the waiting list if they were crab dredge fishermen and hadn't utilized their crab pot or peeler pot to maintain those licenses. So another situation is last year we brought up this idea that in 2008, 350 letters were opposed to the opening. 350 letters. Of those, 302 supported closing, 44 were against the closures. In 2013, 849 individuals provided public comment, 835 opposed opening winter dredge crab season. You know, this was a comment that irritated CMAQ a number of years ago when staff indicated this is a public resource. And we understand that those who are really true to that fishery have those feelings, and that should be understood by the commission as well. We also had a survey that went out. Now, granted, the response was only 30% here of 1,523 surveys mailed to everyone who had a crab license of any type. And the main questions were, should there be a continued closure of the winter crab dredge fishery season? Should there be an extension of the crab pot season? Should crab pot category bushel limits be established? The survey responses favored closing the winter crab dredge fishery season, 54% of the respondents. So, you know, that's some information directly from industry. And, you know, we did get one comment from a CMAQ representative who thought that it should be opened. And, you know, staff would contend the overall theme of this year, as we go from July 5th, 2016 to July 4th, 2017, is conservation. That 2 years ago we were depleted. Why should we not conserve when we have fair amount of juveniles, fair amount of spawning females? Staff contends the stock has not been able to sustain adequate harvest on a biannual basis. I sort of opened up with that, except for 2010 and 2011, and does not support or reopen. The other thing is just a little bit of history. We do understand CMAQ's position from the past and even industry, but when there were times where there could have been conciliations or there could have been some mitigation, those were refused too. So it made it very difficult in the past. And here is the citation for the regulation in 1140.20. And this would close the crab dredge season from December 1, 2016 through March 31st, 2017. We have a recreational issue. We did have one CMAC member who was not at the meeting but requested two changes. One, this is for the 5 Crab Pot license. One change was to allow for a longer season. The season had been June 1 to September 15th. Now it's looked to extend it a month on either side. And, you know, with that, that is a proposal. And also the other part was Sunday prohibitions have been in place since 1993, except somehow in 2008, the Sunday prohibition for the 5 Crab Pot recreational folks was listed. And I suddenly understand why, because I've been thinking about that for a couple of days. The reason is we stopped the 5 pot license right then. That's the reason. So, eureka. We didn't have the 5 pot license. It went into hiatus for 2008 because all of a sudden in 2009 it appears again. So that's what happened there. It's been there forever. However, staff did go back and read the 1993 evaluation and minutes. The Sunday was chosen because the commercial entities proposed it. They didn't feel anyone should harvest on Sunday, and that's really how it got set. So those are the two recommendations to extend the season. The other part of the season is, almost had it figured out, but when there was the older historical 1942 sanctuary, it extended, the closure extended only to commercial harvesting. And recreational harvesting in that sanctuary was allowed, as long as it was not for resale from June 1 to September 15th. And that has to be the tie-in here to why that season was set. But the proposal by this CMAC member is to broaden it, allow for a month on either side. The other thing, just a bookkeeping, Commissioner called it last month, and I agree, is that the code used to have the closed season established in 282709. Now that's done by regulation as of 2009, so that's going to be stricken from this same Chapter 670. So all this is under Chapter 670. It's really commercial gear used for recreational purposes. So this was the Sunday, and I thought that you may want to review the licenses, the 5 pot licenses. They have increased over time, pretty much. There was a stoppage here, so I'm not sure if we refunded or not. No, we did not refund. Okay. That's the background.
Just to clarify, the code actually prohibited refunding.
Yeah. That's true. Staff recommends the commission adopt the following regulatory amendments, but before I do that, I need to give you this, which is the update. Particular regulation, we can go over either after I read the recommendation or before, your choice, Commissioner. So I'm going to read the recommendation, then go over this, or go over this first, because this is the substantive regulation.
Go over the regulation first, okay. If you would, please.
Very good. And so you see in the preamble the dates, so this would kick in July 5, 2016. As the effective date, which is in keeping what's been done the last couple of years. If you go to page 3, staff has set the season limits exactly as was presented for right now for your purposes, and that would be a closure on December 20th in 2016, and in 2017 it would be March 1 through December 20th. However, the commission can come back and change that December 20th in 2017. So you also have that by Crab Pot, and you also have the April 1 is towards the end, the next to last line in section 40, that's for 2017. for 2016, the line to the left there, it says the lawful season shall be October 31 in 2016. So that's for gear, for other lawful gear, not the crab pot. So that was presented to you earlier in paragraph C. That contains the information about when you can take up your gear, essentially, which would be the day after December 20th, December 21st, and also February 28th, because that's when the season's going to start the next day, March 1st. And that's, of course, in 2017. At the very bottom, we've got November 1, 2016 through March 31st of 2017. So that's related to the other gear. And since the season will be proposed to close October 31st, that would be closed November 1st through March 31st, and then April 1, it would open. So they have to coincide that way. Page 5 are the next changes, and that indicates from July, and paragraph D, from July 5, 2016 through November 15, 2016 and April 1, 2017 through July 4, 2017, if you have a crab pot license, that's what you're going to be limited to. And it looks to me that that's something might be off there. Let's see. The second part's right. It winds us up to July 5th of 2017. The November 15th doesn't fit. That's got to be December 20th. Right. This should be December 20th. So put a hold on that. On C, we have November 16th, 2016 through December 20th, 2016, and March 1, 2017. March 31st. So this is referring to the different bushel limits, where they're smaller or less in the fall and the early spring. So instead of March 17th to March 31st, it would be March 1st to March 31st would be the smaller limits.
That's just keeping the status quo.
Yes. Yes. Just a little longer time now that those bushel limits, lower bushel limits, would be in effect. And it's on either end of the season. If you look at page 6, all that's doing is taking this to from March 1 through July 15th on the peeler crabs, and from July 16th through December 20th the same way. And in paragraph B on page 7, that's the peeler crabs. Remember, the size limit changes on the 16th of July. They go from 3 1/4 to 3 1/2. That's why the July 16th is in there. And at the very end on page 8, this was language that, in consulting with law enforcement and the commissioner, it became relic language. It relates to violations, and now that we have the guidelines for the commission, these become obsolete, so they'll be stricken from the regulation, paragraph A, B, and C.
Thank you, Chief.
Okay.
Staff recommendation?
Staff recommendation is staff recommends the commission adopt the following regulatory amendments. Chapter 4, VAC 22, 7010, establish a March 1 to December 20th as the commercial crab pot season for 4VAC 2011-40-10, prohibition of crab dredging, maintain the closed winter crab dredge fishery season, and for 4VAC 2670-10, pertaining to recreational gear licenses, eliminate the reference that a closed season is defined in section 282709, and for pertaining to the licensing of crab traps and crab pounds, rescind that older chapter 30. And if you do want to look at that regulation in the back, everything is merely added in to 460. 460 is what contains the lawful two-week period before the season starts for them to put out their gear. And I think what's missing here, which is under the recreational items too, are the change in the season and the also the Sunday prohibition. And they may be topics, since, you know, that's something that, you know, you're just sort of getting a little bit differently today, since last time we really weren't sure about that Sunday situation. So right now, the season stands at June 1 through September 15th, and the recommendation from a CMAQ member is to go from May 1 through October 15th, and at the same time, not have a Sunday prohibition. These are only for the five-pot recreational licenses.
And that's included in your recommendation?
That's included in the recommendation.
Okay. Any questions from the commission? No? Okay, thank you. You did a great job, Chief.
Gonna work on it.
How you moving?
A lot of pain. But,
I would expect so.
Yeah.
Sometimes we got to play hurt.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
This is a public hearing. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to address the commission on these proposed crab management measures? If you want to talk to the commission, got to come forward. Please take your hat off. Come on up here. Got to come up to the microphone.
Thanks for making him take his hat off.
Please state your name.
My name is Zach Crum.
Where are you from, sir?
Cape Charles, Virginia.
Great, thank you.
I was just wondering why the bushel limits were so low to begin and to end the season.
Okay. All right. Chief?
There was a question.
There was a question. Chief? The question is, why are the bushel limits lower in the spring and in the fall?
We have a spawn May 31st, so if we can conserve some of those crabs. And the other part is, which I mentioned earlier, is we are a little wary of real warm springs. And, you know, the industry, what happened in 2012 in March, took 2.5 million pounds by May. They weren't finding crabs.
I know. You're still shocked about that now, 3 years later.
In the fall, crabs are, you know, migrating down from Maryland. They're starting, you know, after October, they're starting their migration down. And that's next year's spawning potential. So if we can help that a little bit. We're trying to assist on both ends, you know, we'll see what happens.
Did that make sense?
Yeah.
We want to keep more females alive enough to reach their spawning period, and sometimes that means protecting them a bit more in the fall and sometimes a bit more in the spring, because the more females that give birth means the better abundance we have the next year, and so on and so forth.
Right.
So anybody else wish to testify and address the commission on crab management measures?
Good afternoon, Mr. Commissioner, members of the Commission. Chris Moore, Chesapeake Bay Foundation. You have our letter. I just wanted to be brief. A couple of things I wanted to note. First of all, I think what we're seeing this year with the rebound, actually the last 2 years in the winter dredge survey, is a result of the good management that Virginia and Maryland have been working on over the last couple of years, provided with some good events by Mother Nature as well. But I think as that population has bounced back and forth, the Commission has done a very good job pulling seasons back and forth as the population told us that we should do that. And I think this year is an example of when we can expand the seasons a little bit because we've seen good results in the last couple of years. And CBF is supportive of staff recommendations to increase the seasons a bit to allow more opportunities for watermen to actually catch crabs on the end of the seasons. Maintaining the bushel limits will make sure things don't get out of hand. We think those have been effective both from an ecological point of view, but from an economic point of view for crabbers as well. We also agree with staff recommendation, although the population is looking much better, we're not at a point where we're actually at the target population yet, so we do feel as it's currently the best thing to maintain the closure in the winter dredge fishery at this time. So thank you all very much for your time.
Any questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Moore. Anybody else? Mr. Sanford. Please state your name for the record,
Mark,
sir.
Sanford. Plus, I'd say that I really would like to see season stay open actually longer than December 20th. We need a year-round crab fishery. However we achieve that, you know, that's up to y'all. You know, if it's crab dredge or crab potting, but I really feel that the economics of the crab fishery now, the way it is, without a year-round supply of crabs, we're hurting. We can't sell our crabs. We need to be able to control the market some way, and I feel that if we have a year-round fishery, that would help. And as far as, I'm going to jump to the Sunday crab and the recreational crabbers, I feel like they don't need to crab on Sunday. That's the way I feel. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Sanford. Mr. Weidel. Please state your name for the record, sir.
My name is Scott Weibel. I'd like to speak on a couple of these issues. First being the recreational pot, like he talked about. You yourself said there's a problem with the reporting for the recreational pot license, right?
There has been.
So if it's such a problem, why are we giving them more? You've extended their season by 2 months and given them another day that we can't even harvest on. I feel as though that's unfair to the commercial fishermen, as well as unfair to the resource, because if you're not getting reports on what's being harvested on Sunday, you are just putting more into the gray area, I guess. You know what I'm saying? I don't see how you can extend that for them without creating more of a problem, I guess. And then the other thing was, as Mark said about extending crab potting, I agree with that because I know that crab dredging comes with more stigma, really, than anything. People will see crab dredging as tearing up more than it ever really will. And so it has more stigma to it than I guess it probably should. And me being young, I was fresh out of high school when crab dredging was shut down. So I know I'll never be able to crab dredge. I know it's completely out of the realm of possibility, but I'm an oyster dredger. And oyster dredging is the only thing to do in the wintertime nowadays. We have no diversity in management whatsoever.
May I make a recommendation on blue catfish?
We don't have those on the Eastern Shore.
I know, it's a shame.
But
we can stalk them.
Don't do that to us.
Please, I'm sorry to interrupt your train of thought. You're doing great, Scott.
Yep. And, well, I mean, extending the season's great. It helps us out a little bit, but it doesn't help us right now. Currently, we're sitting here because we can't sell today. The market price is $12 a bushel right now. My limit is 29 bushel. Yep. Do some math real quick. After bait, fuel, and everything, I'm going to work every day just to go to work. The 10% cut we received 2 years ago disproportionately affected your average crabber who has a 300-pot license. We were cut from 43 bushel to 29 bushel. That's not 10%. I feel that in a year such as this year where it's a boom year, the bushel limits need to adjust with the market or with the availability of the crabs. Crabs are so abundant right now, but our limits are so low that we can't compete on any of the markets. People are literally dumping crabs overboard at the dock because we can't sell them. How is that conserving a resource whatsoever? And, that's probably all I'm going to say today before I get myself in trouble.
You're not going to get yourself in trouble here for anything you say, most likely. Ms. Rose.
Hello. Hi, I'm Lisa Rose from Whitestone, Virginia. I had something written out, and it's not even going to be irrelevant because I have questions. The diagram that you had up there, the chart, where was that from? Because I didn't see, is it from staff and what they've done? Is it from science, BIMS?
What chart do you mean?
I think you had stepped out with all the lines.
Oh, the lines. Okay,
I see. Well, there was like three or four of them. I couldn't see back there. I'm sorry.
That one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And who provided that?
This is the Baywide Winter Dredge Survey. So this is Maryland, Department of Natural Resources, and Virginia Institute of Marine Science have been doing this survey since the winter of 1989-90. And so over 27 years, these are the trends. The yellow is the overall amount of crabs, and the female crabs are in the blue with the red dots. But what I was pointing out is if you look from 2008 back to 1998, that's a low period,
mm-hmm.
real low period. So.
And isn't that how it goes, though? I mean, they go up and down over the cycle?
Not like this. I mean, that's the whole problem. This was just a trough. It just did not respond. Now you see what you're talking about
mm-hmm.
since that time period.
And then the last two, 2013 and 2014 is when it dropped.
Yes, and here's even the male crabs in red, so even they have come up a little bit. So, but, you know, to Tim's comment a minute ago, I think the idea is that maybe it's optimistic, but everyone wants stability. Everyone wants sustainable resource, sustainable fishing. And the question is, if that happens, it's not just 1 year, it's more than 1 year. And when that happens, does Virginia have the capacity to bring in some of the infrastructure that's lost, given the problems with labor and everything else that are going on? I mean, that's the optimism. But no one's going to take a chance when you saw the earlier data the harvest going up and down. I mean, the Baywide harvest was about 35 million pounds for the total bay.
And that included Delaware, because don't they crab dredge?
No Delaware.
No Delaware.
Chesapeake Bay.
Chesapeake Bay.
Virginia, Maryland.
Virginia, Maryland. My other question is, I had talked to a member that attended the last CMAC meeting in April, Ernie George, because, sorry, I don't have internet on Taps Creek and I have to call members. So I couldn't hear the audio, and he said that you didn't have enough members to do a quorum or anything. So the recommendations today are not from your advisory committee. They're from your staff recommendations?
Yes, staff makes recommendations all the time on pretty much everything, and the advisory committees make recommendations when they have a quorum, and even if they don't, we get a sense of what they had to say. Mrs. Kellum here was the chair of that meeting, as I recall.
I was actually happy to see that CMAC's recommendation and staff recommendation almost coincide. I mean, they're almost match identically.
Okay.
Even though we didn't have a quorum, we had a really good meeting. And
I'm just clarifying because I had two sides of the story, so, just to let everybody know.
So you can always call staff for me, and we'll be happy to answer your questions here. And if you can attend a CMAC meeting or two, that would be very helpful.
I intend to, yes.
That'd be great.
All right. Thank you all very much.
Sure. Do you have any other questions, or do you want to make any sort of points about what's before the commission?
Well, I'd like to see the dredgery open just because of all of the hardships that it created this spring with the crab industry of them not going to market because there's no pickers. And I'll give an example. I was at a restaurant in April, and I overheard a conversation. Lady was down from Warrington, and she asked the waitress, are the crab cakes fresh? Well, I think I keep hitting that, sorry. And knowing that the owner and not having fresh local crab meat because his buyer didn't have it, the waitress said yes and to make the sale. And that's disheartening, but, you have to do it. And their crab meat came from a can. Well, the lady from Warrington was so excited. She was telling her friends. And it's not something, but it's also something that we have to consider, too, that, people want the fresh local seafood. That's why we're in business, to sell to those people. But that, we're not keeping it. I can't eat all those crabs. So, well, just like you all have a responsibility, you tell us that we have a responsibility, and we know that you all do as well. So we hope that we can balance this responsibility and work together on this instead of putting people out of business.
Okay, let me say this.
Mm-hmm.
We don't put anybody out of business, except if they get their licenses revoked. Our jobs here are to manage the fisheries.
Mm-hmm.
We have no say over the market forces. We don't say how much the crab hat picking houses pay their people or whether there are enough H-2B visas to... We don't say,
nope.
Have no role in these type of market forces or how many bushels that the picking houses by or what they don't, or when they buy them or when they don't.
But you're an influence on them, and that's, you know, that does make a difference.
We're not an influence. Our jobs are to manage these fisheries here for abundance and sustainable fishing.
Mm-hmm.
The market forces are things that are outside of our control. I've heard crabbers tell me what they really want is low abundance and high prices, but they want that in periods of high abundance, and I have no ability to suspend the law of supply and demand. It's just what it is. So I say that here to make sure, in the hopes that we're all a bit more on the same page here. We're doing what we can here at the commission to ensure that the stock is continuing to build to better abundance levels, so we no longer see those years of desperation here where we're in almost depleted status, which is very dangerous, and there's not enough crabs there to continue. It's at risk to not continue.
Yeah.
So I say that to try to put this in context.
I understand, yeah, because in 99 is when the real estate boom hit in the Chesapeake Bay. So can I ask one more question? What was the staff recommendation on your extending the season, but was there a bushel limit increase?
No, the bushel limits remained the same as the staff recommendation, as they were last year and as I recall the year before. This is a recommendation to extend the fall season for 3 weeks to December 20th, to open the spring season 2.5 weeks early instead of March 17th, it would be March 1st, and to extend the season for both the peeler pot fishery and for the recreational fishery as well.
Okay.
And resolve a problem with when they can place their crab pads. So that's the staff recommendation.
Thank you.
Which happened, as I recall, to mirror the CMAQ recommendation, even though there wasn't a quorum.
Can I say real quick that I am the new member of the WAVE. The WAVE stands for Watermen of Virginia Engage. We're a new Watermen's Association. So I look forward to working with all of y'all and getting the watermen, you know, all together and working together. I know it's going to be a hard task because I'm a waterman too. But we have some great things going on, and we've already seen some good progress. And
okay,
thank you.
You've asked a couple of questions. Can I ask a quick question here?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of these recommendations, and what would you like the commission to do?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm not very familiar with the crab judging. I'm here because the watermen, the crabbers, are working, and they couldn't be here and couldn't afford to take a day off. I've heard a lot of them voice a huge concern that with their numbers and with Mother Nature and the support of VIMS, they've gotten information from VIMS that 25%, giving them at least 25%, that it's a sustainable industry and that we need to have the crabbing open year-round, because other states on the East Coast, like North Carolina, Georgia, New Jersey, Delaware, they have a year-round crab industry. And with Virginia not having the crab judgery open, we aren't in that competition. And, of course, Maryland is neither. I understand the health of the bay. I mean, I've been living with that for 40 years. I saw it decline when the real estate boom hit. I mean, everybody has a role in this, not just the watermen. The recreational crabbers, your recommendation. I live on Tabs Creek. Memorial Day weekend, little kids, they're coming down from Northern Virginia visiting their grandparents. They're taking nets and dipping over and keeping every single crab in their bucket. That's a 5-gallon bucket. No one's giving them any tickets. No one's giving them any education. The mother of the kid didn't even know that she wasn't supposed to keep the crabs, because back in our day, you know, they didn't have the size limits, I guess 40, 50 years ago. I'm not really sure. I'm sorry, I keep hitting this thing. I think the recreational crabbers, you know, they have a duty to, just like we do, to protect the bay and to protect the crab population and to not keep it and to not fish on Sundays if we have to do the same thing. I'm on a small creek, Tabs Creek in Whitestone, and there are a lot that are more than 5 pots at the dock. What do I do? I don't know. I mean, do I call the cops? Do I call VMRC?
Yep.
But then again, I don't want to be that neighbor who's a snitch, because I'm the youngest neighbor in my neighborhood. Everybody else is either weekenders, they're retired, or they're summer folks. So, you know, I chose to do the better thing Memorial Day weekend and be the neighbor and go over and tell the kids what to do. But I can't be there for everybody. You know, just like I can't be everybody's, you know, voice to make sure every waterman does their job. You know, are they going to cull small oysters? Possibly, you know. But they also need to learn how to, you know, the rules and regulations. Do I know all the rules and regulations? No, I don't. I'm not a lawyer, no offense. I can't decipher all that stuff. So I need to call my lawyer to help me, you know, do all that. So
can we get back to the crab issue here?
But well, I'm sorry, you're right.
I mean, do you
but
have,
yes.
Do you have anything you'd like to see the commission do or not do with
what I would like for you to seriously consider reopening the crab treasury and to not allow the recreational crabs fish on Sundays.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else in the audience that wishes to testify on crab measures? It's going to be your last chance. Seeing none, the public hearing is closed, and the matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Chief O'Reilly, you look like you have something on your mind.
No, just pouring through all
the information. Oh, I have a question.
Yes.
Are there other dredge fisheries that are open in the winter on the East Coast?
Yes.
Delaware. Anybody else?
I think Carolina has something. Okay. Even New York has something. But, you know, even Carolina, in talking to their biologists, they have some concerns about that stock as well. So, I mean, it's
a separate stock.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. I see two hands up, and I saw Mr. Erskine's first. So, Mr. Erskine.
I had a question, Chief O'Reilly, about the recreational five-pot license. What is the limit on that license?
It's a bushel.
Yeah.
One bushel a day.
I thought you were asking me whether it's 5 or 10 pot that you need to propose. The code says up to 10 pots still that I had to consult with.
Mr. Erskine.
So one bushel per day. Okay.
Per person per day.
Personal use, not to be bartered or sold.
Thank you.
Mrs. Kellum.
Mrs. Rose referenced VIMS and VIMS comments as to the crab dredge fisheries. Can we get VIMS recommendation?
I don't know whether VIMS had a recommendation. I know in the past VIMS recommended against opening the crab dredge fishery, and I think it was 2012. And then when we had that study by VIMS, that was for the 2011-2012 season. We had the study by VIMS in 2012. VMRC participated. Staff and Dr. Lipschitz of VIMS recommended a very narrow winter dredge fishery, one that would have, in 2013, at the October 2013 meeting, one that would have been confined to above York Spit Channel and on the western shore. It would have had limited entry. It would have had a host of restrictions and all that. But I don't think before 2011 that VIMS had a recommendation, I remember, specifically.
I was looking more to this, but there's no recommendation for this time around.
Sorry.
I think what the young lady was referring to was our study, and that, as Rob alluded to, was more of a mortality study based on bottom tide.
Okay.
And that came out that the softer bottom was much more amenable to reducing mortality significantly.
Right.
So that was a bit of a fit into that.
Good.
Thank you.
Mr. Ballard.
Would I be right in assuming that the changes to the recreational, the Sunday five-pot, allowing crabbing on Sunday, is that a corresponding measure to the lengthening of the season you've made on the commercial side? Or can you talk a little bit about the logic behind why we're recommending the concessions there?
There are two ways to look at it. One, in 1993, there were at least a half a dozen comments from commercial fishermen because the license was just started in 1993. And they were opposed to having any Sunday harvest in recreation. That's one way to look at it. The second way to look at it is if this is not for sale, if it's strictly for recreational purposes, does that give it a distinction that the commercial doesn't? And, you know, certainly, even back then, there wouldn't be any way that anyone would want any commercial Sunday crabby, and that's been, you know, for quite a while. So I think it's a matter of, you know, how you look at it. Is it a fairness issue, or is it something else?
As a follow-up, I guess my question is, previously we were not allowing crabbing on a Sunday. Now you're recommending that we allow that. Can you briefly state why?
Oh, I'm passing on the CMAC members' recommendation. And when I gave the original recommendation, I said, now I'm missing a couple of things, and those are the recreational items, because they may be worth the case. So I'm not sure, and then Dr. Neal asked me, is that part of the recommendation? Well, up to now they are, but I think it's up to the commission to decide those, since they're both pretty big changes. I mean, I think a two-month lengthening, the only way I could talk about that would be that there had to be some reason for the June 1 to September 15th recreational season for five crab pots. And in my mind, that's tied to the fact that that's the old sanctuary dates where commercial crabbing could not take place in the 1942 sanctuary, but recreational crabbing could. It may be worthwhile to let this stay with CMAC when they get back together. I mean, they're not going to do that very soon. It's a bad time for a committee to meet when everyone's working, but, you know, maybe that's my recommendation overall after hearing comments from Mr. Erskine and you.
Mrs. Cohn.
Just wanted to clear it up. That was just from one CMAC member. It wasn't from the meeting. It was one CMAC member's comment in response to an email. And staff's recommendation could be a lengthened season for the recreational potters and or the Sunday exemption.
Okay.
I've got
Dr. Neal.
Yeah. I think we're spending a lot of time talking about the recreational fishing that they say is 4% of the harvest. We're talking about a minute portion of the crab harvest, and we're spending our time on that. And when we're talking about a recreational fisher, we're talking about a Saturday, Sunday people. We're at work. We're not crabbing during the week. It's a weekend thing. We're kind of thing. And so it's just not that big a deal. And this is for the five pot license. What are the regulations for the two pots and dip nets?
Yeah, there you go. The only thing I would say is, I don't know whether we'll ever have a decent recreational harvest estimate. The 4%, even from Dr. Jones at ODU, was sort of a first order, meaning that ballpark type of approach. And Jillian Ashford, who did the study with her, did most of the legwork. You know, he said it was just very difficult to try and get a handle on Virginia's harvest. And Maryland's tried 3 to 4 times. They've done better. But, so we're at a loss there. Yes, they have done better.
And so what are Maryland's numbers?
What's
Maryland's numbers? I mean, only percentage-wise.
Overall, it's 8%, but keep in mind, for the whole bay, Maryland doesn't allow recreational take of female crabs. And, of course, in our area, that would be, you know, you wouldn't have anything left.
But back to my question about the two-pot license. I mean, not license, just two-potters. Are they closed on Sunday?
No.
Okay. So you're not talking about a big change in dip netters and chicken neck putter stringers dudes and stuff like that. So you're only talking about the five-pot license. It's just a non-deal.
Mr. Fritz.
Yeah, it's 4% if we increase it to Sunday. Well, that probably jump it up to 8%.
I don't know.
It's twice as much time, probably.
It was estimated as 4% of the commercial, not of the total, but 4% of the commercial. And so it was a kind of an odd way to put it back then. That was 2001.
An observation I'd like to give from a commercial fishing standpoint. We can't fish on Sunday. I've talked this over with a number of watermen. And people come down from the weekends. Of course, everybody wants to eat crabs, and they can go out there and middle around in everybody's crab pots. They fish their five, and they don't get enough to eat. No commercial waterman's out there. They can't. They're not there to even influence anybody from not messing with their equipment.
That still doesn't make any difference to the majority of the recreational fishermen who are fishing two pots, which are not affected by this at all, or using dip nets or whatnot. Again, we're talking about something that is a minute thing.
Yeah.
And, yeah, people stealing out of your crab pots, they can do that no matter what the regulation is, and they should be busted.
Yeah, I know. But when I'm not, can't be out there on Sunday, or no crabber can.
We did catch one of them. We sent him to jail.
Judge them to jail. We didn't. We revoked his license. We don't ever send anybody to jail.
That was from the coast. That was back river. Back river.
Other comments? Other questions? Mr. Neal.
I'd make a motion just to accept staff recommendation.
It's a motion by Mr. Neal to accept staff recommendation for all the glorious things it entails.
Second.
Second by Mr. Ballard. Mr. Erskine.
I have a comment. I'm, for the most part, okay with that recommendation or with that motion. However, I do have a problem with the recreational side of this. I would say, and again, this is a comment, but I would prefer to see no crabbing on Sunday, period. I do agree with Mr. France that, you know, if the commercial crabber can't be out there, there is a temptation to go and all of a sudden start pulling up crab pots. And there are people that come down to the area on the weekends and whatnot that want to catch crabs. So it may be a minute percentage of the overall catch that we're talking about, but there are a lot of other fisheries that we deal with that have minute bycatch numbers that we spend a lot of time on, or there are other fisheries that we deal with. I don't think there should be any change to the recreation. I don't think it should be allowed on Sundays. And I don't think...
I'd make the argument then we should close crabbing on Wednesdays to make it more fair to the recreational fishermen.
Okay. Did I see your hand, Mr. France?
That's not a motion, by the way. Okay. That was just a rebuttal.
I have one comment, Commissioner.
Start.
Chief
O'Reilly.
There's been plenty of years from 1993 until the present to address this issue, and five-pot license has been around since then. So it is sort of an abrupt situation compared to the season lengthening.
Yeah.
And so if I can offer that as some advice there, I mean.
I would definitely go for extending the recreational season. Add Saturdays to it or whatever, or, you know, make it longer in the year is fine. But I would be opposed to Sunday crab, recreational crab.
But you're still going to have Sunday recreational crabbing.
With two pots.
Well, eight at my house. I got four people living there.
I'm sorry, Mr.
Erskine. Mr. Erskine, you got a point.
I guess I just had I had a question pertaining to my comment before. So I'm understanding there's five-pot recreational license that can harvest one bushel per day. And then any citizen of the Commonwealth can have up to two pots and harvest how much per day?
Is it a half or one?
Oh, so it's one bushel?
Yeah.
So why do we have a recreational five-pot license?
Because it's in the Code of Virginia, passed by the General Assembly.
We have a five-pot because the chances of securing enough crabs is better with the five-pot. So you get three extra pots compared to the caregiver of what anyone else, any other citizens could have. And that, it's just to get more crabs.
Mr. Erskine.
So as a follow-up, we're thinking that five pots allows for catching more crabs, and we have very little confidence in the reporting from the recreational fishery, albeit a very small percentage. So I don't have too much confidence that there is not more than one bushel being taken from a recreational fishery out of five pots. I'm outside of where we are here, so I apologize. But
no, we get reports, but they're spotty. How many recreational reports do we get?
50.
10%? Oh, no. Not even that.
2%?
So, very spotty.
That was a 2% is what we heard.
Hold on a second, Mr. Neal. Mr. Neal?
I'm just learning things now. Is there a reporting requirement for a five-pot license?
There's an annual reporting requirement for recreational licensees, and it's something that it's always been a paper reporting, and it's very, you know, very spotty, for my word, that it's here and there. Some are diligent, but the majority are not. So, I mean,
I can tell you, I had no clue of this. So no clue. So what's the chance of the average recreational guy out there having
only that? Only about 2, 3, 5, 6%. We don't know, something around there.
So we may want to encourage some education.
I think that's important in the future to do that. I think it's important to get some.
I think it's important to start that this year.
Yeah,
let's see what we can do about reaching out to the recreational license holders and reminding them of their duties to report their harvest.
Yeah. And we have licensing agents, and
we've done that in the past.
Yeah.
It takes for a bit, then it lags off. We get busy. Mr. Tankard has been a very patient fella.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's all right. Now, I mean, I maybe look at it a little bit different. I see people putting crabs with pots in the water. I think they're using candy bars or something for bait. You know, they don't seem to really have much of a clue as how they're going to catch crabs. I don't see them as a big issue, number one. And number two, I think it's good to have people crabbing on Sunday, peeing in the environment. These children spend too much time indoors. They need to spend more time out of doors, and people who spend time out of doors become proponents of the out of doors, you know? I think they're our allies in the future, and having them involved in the environment is a positive for our environment. And I would challenge the 4%. I think there's no way there's 4% of commercial harvest being harvested by people I see recreational crabbing. There's no way.
Well, that was an interesting discussion. Mr. Erskine, we're not done yet.
Well, no, sorry. I completely agree that I hope the younger generation gets out there and understands about fisheries and management and the great area that we are blessed to live in. However, this is a highly regulated species, and there's been a lot of discussion over the past number of years about eliminating, for example, the winter dredge fishery, pot limits, and a lot of things that have happened to the commercial fishery. So I guess it's a sensitive issue, much like cobia was, you know, before.
Oh, don't say that.
And the oyster fishery and so on. So, I mean, I understand that it's encouraging to get the younger generation out there, but...
Well, it's a recreational fishery. Recreational. I mean, recreating outside is good for Virginians. It's good for our crab population long term. They can care about it. I think more Virginians who care about crabs, the better off we are.
All right. Well, last we left this, there was a motion by Mr. Neal to accept the staff recommendation, and it was seconded by somebody on my left, Mr. Ballard. Thank you, sir. Unless somebody wants to go with a substitute motion, I'll give you a minute to ponder that over. Otherwise, I'm going to call the question with the motion at hand. Mr. Erskine.
I didn't need the full minute. As you can probably imagine, I'd like to offer a substitute motion that would accept staff recommendation eliminating the recreational changes to the recreational fishery.
Now, we need to be clear on that because there are two recommendations, and both of them were only with the five-pot crab license.
That's correct.
And one of them was to extend the season, and the other was to open on Sundays.
Right, so my substitute motion would be to status quo the five-pot recreational fishery, so not increase the length of the season nor include Sundays.
Mrs. Cohen.
Discussion.
for just before we have a discussion, I want to hear if there's a second. Everyone understands Mr. Erskine's motion?
I'll second that.
Second by Mr. France. Now we have the discussion.
Okay.
Mrs. Kellum.
Just in fairness, the recreational side, the season extension sort of went along with, we've got the commercial crab pot industry and the peeler pot industry. Everybody got a little bit of an extension due to the winter crab dredge results, so it was just in fairness to pass that season extension on to the recreational also.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Mr. Ballard.
Could I just have you summarize, and maybe Ms. Kellum as well? We had one comment from a recreational crabber who passed that to CMAQ, who then forwarded the comment here. This is not a situation like Cobia where we've had billions of recreational fishermen asking for this. We've had one request for this. Is that right?
Yes, we have one recreational member on CMAQ who passed that comment to me, and then I gave it to the entire CMAQ by way of email, group email, and there were no follow-up comments.
In the interest of full disclosure, I have received probably two letters over the last year and a half or so, I would guess, that requested full weekends for recreational crabbing, and it's because they come in for the weekends, they're from out of town, they're in for their summer place, they didn't like being confined to just crabbing just on Saturdays. So while none of those were part of any of this, I every once in a while a letter pops up to this effect, for whatever that's worth.
If I could ask staff.
Mr. Erskine.
In light of what Mrs. Kellum said about the coinciding with the commercial and the recreational fishery as far as the extension of the season, have we done that in the past when we've made changes to the commercial fishery?
No. In sort of the modern times, we only extended the commercial to December 15th twice, 2012-2013. Nothing was done on the recreational. So here we have a situation where about 36, 37 days is going to be extended on the commercial season for 2013-17.
For the hard potters. Mr. France.
Is there a time limit, like at 1 o'clock when commercial fishermen have to stop crabbing, that recreational fishermen?
Yes.
With a five-pot license?
Yeah. Either 1 or 2, starts out as 2, and then it gets into 1 from June until August maybe, and then September back to 2.
No, thank you.
Do we need more discussion on this substitute motion? Okay, to recap, to bring us all up to speed, it's a motion by Mr. Erskine to accept staff recommendation except for any changes to the recreational harvest. Recreational measures would stay status quo. And that's second by Mr. Franz. I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
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 Let's see a show of hands, please. 1, 2, 3, 4. Noes. The chair votes no, but it passes 4-3. And we have management measures for the next year.
Oh, please
call. Just to explain my vote, no, was I thought that the recreational users of the crab pot license deserved at least a little something, since there was so much that we were doing for the commercial industry. That said, the motion passes. We have a path forward here, and we move on.